Blog Talk Radio.
Commissioner T, the Madden Voice is here, season 5, episode 4, week 3 of the NFL. Already week 3. Wasn't it just week 1? As I'm telling you, if you guys are not enjoying football, you're going to wake up and it's going to be December. You're going to be like, oh my God, and we're going to be like in the last month of the season. And so I really hope you guys are enjoying football, because before you know it, it's over and you're in the playoffs and it's cold weather out. Well, you know, depending on most of the country, it gets cold. And, you know, we're starting to look at spring already. So, you know, I can believe October is almost already here, a few days away. Time flies by. Week 3 of the NFL. I mean, this season has been I've enjoyed it intensely, and I'm looking forward to getting into some NFL talk. And, of course, we will always discuss Madden, you know, if there's anything going on in the Madden community or with the new game. Anybody want to chime in? We're right here at 347-838-9525, and that's 347-838-9525. You can also catch us on Twitter, and it's real simple, The Madden Voice, just like it sounds, no spaces, The Madden Voice. You have any comments, send us a message. You can make it a public message. You can make it a direct message. We don't care. The Madden Voice on Twitter. The Madden Voice is on Facebook. Just search for The Madden Voice. Check us out there. And again, the number is 347-838-9525. And let me introduce my co-hosts, panel members, going to chop it up with me on some NFL action. And I know they're chomping at the bit to get into this discussion. And let's see, the first one I have here, trying to find his music. You know, I don't have his. He asked for some new music to introduce himself, but I couldn't find it in time. So maybe next week we'll have the new music. But I can't even find his okay, here we go. Here's his old music. Here's music that I like. You know, I think this will always be his intro music, even if we replace it, you know, because in my opinion, when he plays Madden, he is the ultimate warrior. We have my co-host and fellow panel member. We know him as Train. What's up, Train?
What's up, Steve? another week of football. Gotta love it.
I love it, man. That intensity of that music kind of matches the intensity of this week we just had of football, you know. And but before we jump into that, let me bring on, you know, you guys all know who this guy is. One of the best Madden players in the country. Madden Nation Season 4. Go catch it on some notice, some clips out there on YouTube. Go ahead and check it out. And last year, 2011, VG EA Sports. Runner-up for 25 grand, runner-up. How many times have you guys ever gotten to play Madden for 25 grand? How many of you have played Madden for $25? Never mind, 25 grand. But anyway, we have the man with us, K-Star. K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Glad to be here. What's good, fellas?
Hey, another week of football.
That's right.
Lot to talk about. And you guys know who I am.
Good, man.
You guys know who I am, the one and only Commissioner T. I'm going to retire that theme song. I love it, but I have a new one coming next week for Commissioner T. And we got some new stuff coming, guys. You know, we're not going to stay stale and stagnant here at the Madden Voice. We got some new things coming. I've been talking to some people. I'm working on some stuff. I get back to you on that at a later date, but we're not going to stay stale and stagnant. But football week 3, NFL action. If you guys didn't watch any games this weekend, I don't know why, you know. You better been with, like, with your girl or something. And even that, you probably should tell her, look, hey, baby, you know, it's football, you know, Sunday, you know, Monday night, you know. I can't roll with you right now. I'm going to have to, you know, Twitter you or text message you or something, but I can't hang out right now. It's football, you know. You got about the ESPN moved up their pregame show to 10 o'clock on Sunday. You know, so you got 10 o'clock on Sunday to, like, 1 o'clock, you know. So you got a good 15 hours of football, pregame, postgame, interviews, you know. And then Monday night, I mean, you know, about 5 o'clock, they start talking about the game, like, intensely. You know, and then the pregame is at 7, you know. And then the game is about 8:30, and that's going to run till about 11:30. And then you got the postgame. Then you got the postgame on NFL Networks. I mean, guys, if you're not tuning in, catching what's going on. Well, you know what? If you're not, you got the Madden Voice, and that's what we're here for, too. And we'll bring you up to speed with everything that's going on. First game I want to talk about this week, you know, I went through all the games and picked out, you know, about 8 games roughly that I thought were kind of the highlight games of the week. And, you know, I thought we would start with the Pats and the Bills. You know, the game that I considered to be a big upset. You know, I don't know how you guys feel. I considered, you know, that game to be the big upset. And, you know, in case you guys didn't know out there in Madden land, the Bills pulled a big upset, 34-31 over the Pats. After being down, I believe it was 21-0 in the first half, and came back and actually beat them 34-31, and probably best quarterback, arguably the best quarterback in the NFL today, threw 4 picks. And last year he threw 4 picks the whole season, like 37 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He threw 4 picks against the Bills. Let me start with K-Star being our AFC guy. What was your take on this upset, you know, the Bills did with the Pats?
I was pretty shocked. Definitely wasn't expecting that at all. The Patriots were up big early, and I figured that's how it was going to go, but Brady threw some interceptions. A couple of them weren't his fault, but that's just the way it goes sometimes, and the Bills capitalized on the mistakes. New England's defense isn't very good, so I figured they would score some points, but I still didn't think they really had a chance to win. So it was definitely surprising that they did.
Do you think that this was just, are the Bills for real, or is this just, you know, the Patriots have beaten the Bills 15 straight times. So, you know, statistically, they had to win sooner or later. You can't just keep beating up on a team every time you play them. Sooner or later, just the way the game is, you're going to lose. Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, at some point, though, you know, you go in overconfident. It's just the Bills. I mean, are they here to stay, Trey? What do you think, Trey? Are they here? Are the Bills for real?
You can't discount that as them not being for real. It was a division game. If anybody knows your team as well as you do, it's your division opponent. And yes, being whipped up on 15 times, yeah, they New England should have whipped up on them 16 times. They should have kept it going. But in my opinion, Tom Brady threw the game away. And I just leave it at that. I don't care how many interceptions wasn't his fault. If you sitting here beating the team 21-0, and you have momentum of the game, all of a sudden you start throwing picks. Tom Brady threw the game away. Game's in his hands.
Chad Johnson, you know, did a half mile by dropping a 40-yard touchdown. I probably would have sealed the game, but
it's still, had there been any other quarterback in the league, they'd be like, man, look at him throw all those picks. He threw the game away for his team. Had it been Tony Romo, they'd have threw him under the bench. You know that, T.
Yeah.
But it's Tom Brady.
Don't nobody
say anything about Tom Brady. It's okay. You can throw 4 picks. They came back. They won't get the next one. Man, whatever. He threw the game away.
I disagree with that completely. I mean, when you look at those picks, like, obviously, 4-4, you can't really make those 4 bit. at some point you can't be that guy and say, oh, it's all Brady. I mean, his receivers were just dropping touchdowns. Chad Johnson at the 40-yard bomb, that probably was a dagger in the game. Danny Woodhead had a ball go off his hands in the red zone. That ended up being a pick. And then, you know, that tip pick at the very end of the game. You can't really put that on Brady. I mean, it is what it is. Bills played really good, and they got to win at home. I still don't really consider them to be real. Like, I don't think they'll be in the playoffs at the end of the day. I still think New England's going to win that division, and the wild card's going to come out of that division. One of the wild cards is going to come out of the division, and the wild card's going to come out of the AFC North. So they're probably like a 9-7 kind of team. They're nice little story, but I'm going to catch up with them.
Go ahead, Trent. What'd you say, Trent?
So Brady throws four picks and he gets the goat scot-free. Like, it's okay, Brady. You're fine.
You get to watch the game. Look at how it happened. Like, it wasn't like Brady just make a horrible read. Like, he had two bad plays when we were wrong. But it's not like he had help either on the defensive side and all. On Chad Johnson dropping touchdowns. Like, at the end of the day, Brady needs some kind of help from some portion of his team. He wasn't getting it.
I think Wes Welker gave Brady quite a bit of help. We have two opposing sides. I'm going to lean, 55-45 towards Train on this one. You know, to me, I mean, I've been there with Tony Romo many times. I've been down this exact road, and Tony would not get a break. Even, I don't care. The tip balls, we've had this so many times. You look at the quality of the picks, and you say, was it a poor pass, a poor read, or just one of those, the way the ball bounces? And Tony does not get a break, even if it's picked. People just look at the stats and say he's a choke. That game against the Giants in the playoffs where everyone says he choked and threw an interception. Well, two things they don't remember is that last pass was fourth down, everybody was covered, and the Giants had been putting pressure on Tony all day. So I didn't blame him for that interception, but the world said he choked on it. So I see where Train is coming from. I think anybody that throws four picks, somewhere in there, the quarterback did something wrong. It may not be all four, but somewhere in there, somebody did something wrong. Tom Brady is human, and I will be the first to say best quarterback in the NFL today, even over Aaron Rodgers. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. But four picks is still four picks. And Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, yeah, man, he dropped it. I mean, you know.
The ball packed by the hands.
Yeah, he dropped it. I'm not going to necessarily defend him, but I'm going to say this. When you're only targeting a guy like three times a game, very possibly a future Hall of Famer, that's arguable, but a guy who has been great for a number of years, and I know Brady likes to spread it around, but you got to get these superstars, these guys, these are money guys, you got to get them in the game, man. I mean, you got to figure out a way to get this guy in the game. He is, he could stretch the field for you and do so much for you. And, I've watched two out of three of their games, and that's the only deep ball I've seen him target. That's it. He shouldn't have dropped it. It was right in his hands. No doubt about it. He makes too much money to drop that pass. But you throw him five passes like that, he's going to catch four of them. And, man, on any normal day, he's going to catch it. So they got to just get this guy. And he's on my fantasy team, man. He's killing me. So you got to get him in the game more. But another question I have for you guys is a lot of hype over Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Harvard graduate. I don't see myself, personally, but am I missing something here? Is the guy that good, or is it just the system, or am I missing something? I don't know. Train, what do you think?
Sorry about that. Repeat that one more time, man.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I had an interruption.
Yeah, I heard. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Bills quarterback. Is he that good, or is it the system, or I don't see it myself, but what do you think?
Well, one of the things that that was mentioned about Ryan Fitzpatrick and Stevie Johnson last season was that they played together on the second team, and that's where they actually developed their chemistry. That's the second string players,
Okay.
And once they, and it just kind of went from being second string players to being, actually being on the field. So, and I'm always a firm believer that if a quarterback is in a system long enough, he can be successful with that system. So you the combination of him being in that system for a couple of years or more and also building a rapport with a receiver through practice, it equals success on the field.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I got to see more from the guy, to be honest with you. But let's shift over to the other AFC East contest, if you will. We had the Jets and the Raiders, and another, in my opinion, another surprise. And I'm going to go back to K-Star. Is this a situation? Are the Jets overrated? I mean, the Raiders beat them by 10 points, 34-24. Are the Jets overrated? Are the Raiders really that good finally? I mean, what's going on?
I think it's more so the Raiders actually playing for real. It's tough to play in a black hole. I mean, good teams have come there even when those Raiders weren't so good and lost. I think the Jets are fine. They just caught Oakland on a really good day. Derek Madden is the real deal. He's arguably the best running back in the league right now. And the offense with Hugh Jackson is really coming into its own. Look at him. They're finding ways to get the playmakers the ball. Derek Madden's running all over the place. Denarius Moore, the rookie receiver, is making plays. They look really good. So I think it's more so just a tough environment, tough game. And that's pretty much the case. I think the Jets are just fine.
So, let's look at the AFC East for a minute, with the Patriots, the Bills, the Jets, they're all 2-1 right now. I guess we don't really have to talk about the Dolphins, they're not really doing much. But, I think, K-Star, you've already said Patriots going to win the division. Train, what do you think now? I mean, the Jets looking vulnerable, the Bills, upsetting the Patriots. I mean, early in the season, now who's your odds on pick?
Well, correction, Bills are 3-0. And second,
I'm sorry, the Bills are 3-0. That's right.
Yeah. Second, I still think the Patriots will pull out that division. I mean, I'm not completely sold on Buffalo. It's early on in the season. If y'all can remember 2 years back, Denver started out 6-0 and didn't even make the playoffs. So it's possible to start out beautifully, but it's not always about how you start. It's about how you finish. It's a long season. This is only 3 games played. They had a nice start, but that's still a tough division to win against when you gotta see the Patriots a second time. And Tom Brady, I'd be very doubtful to see him throw 4 interceptions again against the same team. So yeah, it's still the Patriots division, and the Jets, they're maybe a little overconfident with the loss against Oakland.
Mm. And, and I'll add one other thing is the Bills head coach is a former Cowboy head coach, Chan Gailey. And, he's one of those, he's a nice guy. I don't see him as a long-term solid head coach. And, the Bills are certainly undefeated right now, but, and sometimes I think we all get caught up on, we're not ready for transition and complete parity. We get used to the same teams being on top. And so when other teams start to emerge, it takes us fans a while to accept the fact that this team might be for real. This team might be a team to be reckoned with. And I think, we're seeing that in the NFL this year with several teams that are making some headway, the Raiders, the Bills, the Lions. We're seeing teams that are traditionally losers winning, and not just winning, but beating solid teams, really doing something that we would not expect. That we sit here and say, okay, here comes the litmus test, and then they pass it. And I think we're still resistant and still reluctant to say this team has arrived. So I'm with you guys. I think the jury's still out. They are tops in their division right now, but they gotta go see the Patriots in Foxborough. They gotta see the Jets twice. We'll see. It's going to be a tough division. let's shift over to a game that I thought that I was very surprised that was a very competitive game. And we're going to go to K-Star since we're going to talk about K-Star Steelers and the Steelers and the Colts. And, you know, if the Colts could find a quarterback that could, you know, manage the game for them, they might have actually beat them Steelers that day. It certainly was a much more competitive game than I thought. And I believe, you know, I warned everybody last week that this was a trap game for the Steelers. They were going to play the Colts. And you know, Colts had nothing to lose, and Peyton was up in the booth, and, you know, Freeney and Mathis and this defense actually showed up and came to play and kept them Colts in this game right down to the very end. Let me get your analysis of, you know, when you watched the game, were you sitting there saying, come on, man, don't tell me you guys are going to blow this game, or what were you thinking, Casey? You went to this game, right?
Yeah, I was actually at the game. It looked great early. I thought we were blowing out when we went up 10-0 after the Mike Wallace, Ben Osberger bomb. And then Dwight Freeney reminded us he's Dwight Freeney, and Jonathan Scott, our left tackle, reminded us he's Jonathan Scott, the worst starting tackle in the league. And it showed. After the Colts got back in the game, their defense played great. The fact of the matter is we got dominated up front. Ben had no time to throw. When he had that fumble return for a touchdown, that was simply a product of Dwight Freeney being much better than Jonathan Scott. Ben hardly even had a second throw. He's actually about to throw a go route. I could see pretty much the whole field. He's about to throw a go route to Mike Wallace, just a little lob fade type situation. But he didn't have a second and a half to throw the ball. So Colts got back in the game with their bookend defensive ends making plays, and Ben was running for his life. I was pretty worried about it. I was kind of surprised how well the Colts played. At the end of the day, they do have guys like Dwight Freeney, who's a Hall of Fame defensive end, and guys like, you know, Robert Mathis and some other playmakers who they do have pride. They're probably tired of Kansas Payton and saying that. And the fact of the matter is they got up for a primetime game in their home. The fans were extremely loud. I was, again, surprised about that as well. And I was definitely nervous. But at the end of the day, if you don't have the ball, 2 minutes left to go, we know how that usually ends.
Right. Train, if you're I can never remember this guy's name. If you're the Colts head coach, who's your starting quarterback? Jim Caldwell, thank you. Who's your starting quarterback?
Painter.
Now, you saw he missed Garcon wide open.
Yep.
Probably a touchdown.
Yeah.
But he did come back and make some nice plays afterwards. Some nice, I mean, you know, other than the fumble, but he made some nice passes. Do you is this your guy? Do you say, look, you know, let's paint the big picture. You've got a veteran in Kerry Collins. There's a lot of mixed signals. Maybe K-Star can clear this up, because a lot of mixed signals coming out of Indianapolis about Peyton Manning's status. First it was he's not going to play at all this year. Then it was, well, we're going to keep him on the active roster, and he might be available in December. I can't figure it out, you know, whether they're looking at trying to keep him available later in case they actually could make the playoffs, or what are they going to do? But if you're the coach, do you just say, pretty much, we're 0-3, this year's a wash, let's develop this young quarterback, we don't know how many years we're going to have with Peyton, or even if he's coming back, or do you go out and find David Garrard, or, you're the coach, Train, are you starting Painter?
I'm starting Painter, but it's not that my mindset is that we need to start this young guy because we're putting a wash on the season. I'm starting Bannon because I think he's more familiar with the offense than Kerry Collins.
You think he's going to produce?
I think he'll probably give him the best chance to win simply because he's more familiar with the offense. Yeah, he had a rocky start, but damn, he got thrown into a game against the Steelers.
Yeah.
Who's gonna come in the game against the Steelers and just be great? Not too many. You can't even count that many on one hand. Any rookie or anybody that hasn't played at an NFL level before, but given the fact that he's had a week to prepare for a team, run reps with the first team, yeah, I think he'd be pretty successful if he go ahead and start. It's not that it's a wash on the season. I think he gives him the best chance to win.
K-Star, what's your thought on who should start, and what are you hearing out there? Is there any movement towards starting Painter, or is Kerry still got the job? Or
it sounds like it's shifting towards Painter rapidly. The fans actually want to see him out there. And, you know, he did play pretty well, despite, you know, he threw a touchdown, probably it would have been. But he did have a very nice drive. I think it was an 80-play drive against us, led him to tie the game after the fact. So people want to see him play. Like Train said, he's more familiar with the offense. He's a young guy. Let's just at least, you know, the Colts Montana, let's just see if we have anything at all. I don't even think that they consider the season a wash. You know, they are 0-3. I mean, the fact of the matter is the division isn't spectacular. So I'm not sure what this whole Peyton Manning thing. I'm pretty positive he's done for the year. I'm not sure exactly what Jim Mercy's trying to do. He said earlier this morning or yesterday that he was done, and now he was trying to backtrack a little bit. Personally, I think they're trying to keep him around just to be more of a coach than anything else and be they need him on the active roster, do all that kind of stuff because, you know, he's not officially a coach or anything. So I think they want him there. It's just to for moral support and actually coach the team and do more stuff in the booth. He's a pretty valuable asset. I'm pretty sure even after his career is over, Peyton Manning's going to be a coach. It's going to be a great one at that. He's already pretty much the coach of that team anyway, if you think about it. So,
well, I'll say this. You know, when I say call a season a wash, statistically it's done. You know, under 3% of teams that started 0-3 ever make the playoffs, and that's reality. So, you know, no, of course, no coach is going to come on in a news conference and declare the season dead after three games, and nor should they. But statistically, you have to realize, hey, if you're coaching and if you're running this team, you know, you're in a huge hole. And so when you decide to bring in a young quarterback, when you went out and signed this veteran, yeah, part of you may say, well, he's more familiar with the offense, and you could publicly say he gives you the best chance to win. But on the other hand, he's young. He hasn't seen anything compared to what Kerry Collins has seen. It is a huge risk. He may know the offense, but, you know, when these young guys get out there and they're under fire week after week, you just don't know. You kind of know what Kerry Collins is going to bring you, and you kind of think, well, as he gets more familiar with the offense, and I think that's the biggest problem is he's just not familiar with the offense. So it really, either way, it's a risk. You got a veteran who doesn't know the offense. You got a young guy who does know the offense. Which route do you go? Either way, you know, to me, this season's done. You're 0-3. Yeah, you could make a great run and, you know, defy the odds. But, you know, you're pretty much done. And if Peyton's done, I don't get the whole he's still going to be on the active roster if he's done. I don't get that. I don't understand it. I mean, can he not be on the sideline if he's on injured reserve or something? I don't know. I mean, if that's the rule, then fine. But to me, why waste the roster spot? If, in fact, you really are trying to resurrect your season, you're going to need that roster spot in another position. You're going to need to bring in another quarterback or do something. So why keep him on the active roster? I don't see it, you know. But that's my opinion, and I'm sticking by it. Train, it's your turn, man. And you know, I didn't want to start off with your game. You know, I didn't want to do that to you. You know, I didn't want to do it to you. But you know, God, you know. I mean, what do we say? You know, you're playing the world champions. You know, you're playing a team that you played three times last year, and you know, you hosted them. And this was kind of the opportunity. This to me was one of those litmus test games. You know, which Chicago team are we going to see? Are we going to see the team that, you know, could contend for a Super Bowl, or are we going to see the team that's still trying to figure out their identity? And I don't know. I'll leave it right there, and you tell me what team do you think you saw? Is there a third team that you saw that Sunday?
I'm not even going to be long-winded with this. It was pretty much the same team that showed up against the Saints, except for the defense started off a lot slower, and the game was seemed to be almost out of hand. But you know, we kept it 10, within 10 points there for quite a bit, but we don't have it offensively.
yeah, it doesn't matter how well our defense will continue to play throughout the season, because they're going to have their bad games. They're going to have games where they're going to have slow starts. But for us to be a second season within an offense, and Mike March and Jay Cutler and the offensive line and those receivers still not able to figure out how to move the ball, man, it's going to be a long season. We play like that in any game. We can't beat Carolina playing like that. So,
well, you know, I got a couple questions for you. First question is, now, you know, your reputation, for those of you who don't know you and don't know where the name Train, so tell everybody your nickname Train, where it comes from.
For those who don't know, the nickname Train came from when the Bears had Anthony Thomas as their starting running back, and they called him A-Train. And I started playing Madden real heavy then, and I just like to run the ball, and that's who I ran the ball with. And so I named myself online Madden name Will Stop the Train, and not many people could do it. And K-Star, I didn't know you back then, I'm glad I didn't, but I was pretty good at running the ball on whoever I played.
And I'll say this, I am not, you know, I've never been one to say that I'm very good at the game of Madden, but I played everybody. You know, I played all you guys. I played the K-Stars and the Dynasties and Big Jeans and Jarvis. I played all these guys, you know, so I at least get a sense of their games. Of course, they, you know, all annihilated me, but I at least get a sense. And on a running level, Train, I tell you, you would have been tough. These guys would have had a hard time stopping you, because you really had a good scheme with running the ball, and you definitely were very good at doing that. Now, the reason I'm asking that is your team set a record low for running the ball, lowest output in like 60 years. Is it time to panic now? You know, what do we got here with the Bears? You know, I mean, I still, and you know where I'm going, I still am not, I just don't believe in Jay Cutler. I still don't think he's the man. I still see more mistakes from him than I, you know, when we talk about Cutler and Romo, and a lot of people put him in the same category. But the difference I see is I see more production from Romo than I see mistakes, and I see more mistakes from Jay Cutler than I see production. I saw it at Denver, and I'm seeing it again in Chicago. I could be wrong, because I don't watch his games as closely as I watch Romo, so I could be wrong. But, I mean, can this team rebound? Running game did nothing. Cutler's still making mistakes. Can your team rebound and be competitive in that division?
You see, I heard about four or five questions in what everything you just said, so let me see if I can cover them all. Let's see, Tony Romo versus Jay Cutler. Romo has been in his system a lot longer, and he's been with his players a lot longer. He has a great rapport with his players, and even with some of the new guys that came in, so he has an advantage there. You know, Jay Cutler hasn't been in a system. This is the first time he's been in a system 2 years in a row. So hopefully you hope that he improves, but it all can't really fall on Jay Cutler. This was actually the first bad game he had of the year. I mean, three games in, this was the first bad game. The first two games, he did the best he could. This game was pretty much his bad game, because even when he had time to throw the ball, He still didn't get it out of his hands, or he still couldn't complete the pass for whatever reason. No, it's not time to panic. We got 13 more games to play, and we actually played the toughest part of our schedule right here. First three games: Atlanta, Saints, Packers. First three games was the toughest part of our schedule. Not to say the rest of our schedule isn't tough, but this was the toughest part. Now, if anything, they need to take from these games exactly what they need to work on. You have to be able to run the ball. The receivers need to be able to catch the ball. You need to do better in the red zone. And luckily, we're playing against Carolina next, where they have a very, very poor run defense, and Beeson is gone for the year. So if it's any time to fix the run, it would have to be this next game. If you can't run against Carolina, then you probably won't run against anybody for the remainder of the season.
Okay. K-Star, question for you. Packers 3-0, Patriots lose. We've got the Packers at 3-0, the Lions at 3-0, the Bears at 3-0. The Bills at 3-0. Are the Packers right now the best team in the NFL?
Yeah, I feel like they are. I feel like the point of the season they were, and no reason why they wouldn't be, in my opinion. They've been very good, and they continue to be very good. They have a balanced defense and offense, and it's a very tough combination to deal with. So I would definitely say they are.
Notice, Train, I didn't ask you that question. Notice I didn't ask you to answer that about your division rival. See?
Of course, you know. I can answer that question, though, without even feeling bad about it.
Okay.
Of course it's the Packers, too. What else would it be?
I can answer that
question as a football fan, man.
I just want to put you on the spot since, you know, they're in your division and, you know, you just lost to them, you know what I mean?
Come on, T. You know me. I'm a Bears fan, but I'm a football fan. The Packers are playing. I mean, whether they give up 600 yards passing in a game, at the end of the game, who gets the W?
Right.
Cam did it best.
Right.
But before you move past the fact of the Packers and the Bears, Did any of you see the kick return? That could have went for a touchdown and put us within three with a chance for an onside kick had we not had a holding penalty that I still don't know ever existed.
Yeah. I put it to you this way. Number one, that is about the best play I've ever seen in my life. you know, and number two, I tell you, the officiating this year overall has not been very good. I've been very disappointed with the calls that they're missing, the calls that they're calling that are just phantom calls. I don't get it. Maybe they didn't have their training camp in the off season either. I don't know, but oh my God, because I'm still wondering where that hold was on that play. And you're right. You know, that definitely could have, you know, there was still an opportunity for the Bears to compete, you know, if they didn't call that phantom holding call. But man, what a play. I mean, what a play. That's really all you can say is, you know, that was one. I mean, you know, the fact that even the kicker started running that way and you just kicked the ball. You just kicked it and now you're running away. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you in a room and everybody just starts looking up and you don't know why, and you start looking up too. And that's exactly what happened. He's like, well, I'll just follow them, you know. Like, wow. Yeah, hell of a play.
It's going down as the best play to never count it.
Yeah. And the problem is you can't do it again now. I mean, that's done.
Right. For another 20 years.
Yeah, you got one shot to use that play.
Yeah. So, and you got it. The bad part, it worked so well because Devin Hester was the returner. Had it not been any other return in the league, maybe someone as potent as Devin Hester. It might would work. But because it was Devin Hester, that's the reason why it worked so well.
Well, don't sell Johnny Knox there short, because he couldn't be back there fielding like a regular punt returner. He actually You know, he sold it too by running back towards the ball, almost like he was, you know, trying to catch a block and then, you know, veered off to catch the ball and then run up the field. Because I was watching, like, okay, you see two people, you know, like, what was he doing? And when they showed it from that angle, I'm like, well, damn. You know, he sold it, too.
Right.
He wasn't just standing back there fielding. He was running back and caught the ball running, you know. So I was like, wow. Yeah, that was a hell of a play that will never, ever, that won't count. and you know what I didn't understand is I was watching one of the post-game shows, and they're like, why would you use that play now so early in the season? And I'm like, why wouldn't you? It's a division game, and you need it. You know, you're down by 10, and you needed something to you needed a score. I mean, you know, wasn't a lot of time left. So I thought the timing was perfect, you know?
I mean, it is a game that pretty much, once Green Bay hit that punt, they felt like they had the game. It's
right.
Like, oh, they're down two scores. Let's just punt it off. This is a game. Their players weren't paying attention to anything, even though they knew the ball was supposed to be kicked to the left. They didn't care. It's like, man, let's just make sure you don't return this. This is the end of this game. We got this. Let's wrap this up and go home.
Right. Right. And remember, guys, this is the Madden Voice 347-838-9525. Now, you know, Blog Talk has a new switchboard, so it used to be if you pressed 1, a little hand would pop up, and then I would know that you had a question. So I'm not sure if that's even the case anymore, but try it. If you call in, sometimes people just call in to listen. They may be in their car or whatever, and so they'll call in and listen, and they don't want to be, you know, asking any questions. But if you are calling in and you want to actually participate, try pressing 1, because that used to be how to do it, and then I can see it on my end, and then that would that would show me that, you know, you're interested in being heard. So give that a try, and we'll see if it gives me something. You could also send us a Twitter, The Madden Voice on Twitter, and we'll see that as well, and I'll certainly bring you on. And, you know, we'll continue. Now, wait a minute. I think we lost. Oh, no, we still got K-Star. You still there, right, K-Star?
Yeah, I'm definitely here. I'm
okay, all right. Thought I lost you real quick. All right, let me switch to the Monday night game. You know, let me switch over to you know, a couple of my Redskin friends were crying this morning. Yeah, I saw you know, posts on Facebook. You know, third down. I can't believe, you know, third down and Tony Romo converted. Crying, you know. You know, before I comment on the game, because, you know, it's my Cowboys, but I'm gonna ask K-Star to assess. Give me, you're a fan of the Steelers, and you're, you know, obviously being in the AFC. I think the AFC, you know, with Peyton and Brady and of course Big Ben, you know, each year has some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I don't know if you watched the game or not, or watched the Cowboys, but what's your assessment of Tony Romo, you know, the last couple of weeks?
He's been great. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. You know, I think the biggest thing actually for him right now is he's showed that he can respond to adversity very, very well. In the week 3 game last night, you know, he had a bunch of horrible botch snaps. I think he had like 4, which is the most I've ever seen in my life. And he was still making plays regardless, and it was pretty cool to see. Not only that, but he's been playing at a pretty high level. Like, he's been cracked ribs and everything, but he's still finding a way to get a W, which obviously at the end of the day is the most important thing. He played a very tough defense, and, you know, he made some big plays, and he's definitely playing like a top-tier quarterback. So I was Cowboys going to be pretty happy about him.
You know, and the reason I asked that is because I was thinking about this, you know, after watching, you know, I watched all 3 games, of course, and after watching in the Jets game and the last, you know, 8 or 9 minutes where he, you know, fumbled and threw the pick, and then watching last week and watching this week, and I'm gonna tell you guys what I'm seeing with Tony Romo. I am now seeing him take the leap to the next level. I have been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this because I knew it was coming. And we are witnessing Tony Romo elevate himself to the level of the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's and the Drew Breeses and the Ben Roethlisberger's. Now, all those guys have won Super Bowls, and obviously he has not. So I'm not saying he's there yet. But, you know, when Tom Brady started in the NFL and he replaced Drew Brees, you know, there was a big quarterback controversy. You got this guy winning all these games, but you got your experienced, you know, quarterback. Who do you bring in? Because you never let a guy lose his job due to injury. But Brady just kept winning, so eventually he wasn't Tom Brady then. He was just this 7th-round draft pick that had come in and was winning games, and so eventually Belichick said, hey, I got to go with the hot hand, and, you know, Bledsoe, other than mop-up time, never saw the field again. So there is a transition, you know what I mean? There is that, and I believe what I'm seeing, what everyone is seeing with Romo is that transition, and I'm going to tell you why. Last week, well-documented, knocked out of the game, broken rib. We later find out punctured lung. We didn't know that then, but we find that out later. The coach and the trainers tell him you're not going back in. He knows if you go 0-2, God, it really destroys, you know, starts the season off in a negative note, throws on a helmet. And now, does that make him a superstar? No. But what I saw on the sideline with Jesse Holly, you know, talking to him. Get ready. I'm going to be looking for you. I'm going to need you. You know, Dez is out, and Miles is hurting, and I'm going to need you. You know, I need you to step up, okay? And what did he do? He stepped up, and pretty much Jesse Holly won that game with that overtime catch. Now fast forward to this week, you know, and he wears the extra flap jacket. And as K-Star pointed to, the messed up snaps that were not his fault, by the way. But we saw him on the field, very animated, young receivers, guys that hadn't been in the system very long, didn't know where to go, didn't know where to line up, and he's getting on them. He, you know, we saw this. He's in control of this team, and he willed this team to another victory. You know, that play, that 3rd-and-21 play was Romo. Scrambled out of the pocket, told Dez, saw the middle of the field was open because the Redskins blitzed everybody, and he pointed, watched the replay. He pointed and told Dez, take off. And Dez took off, and D'Angelo Hall, the punk that he is, couldn't cover him. Can I stand D'Angelo Hall? I ain't got no problem with the Redskins. They're a rival, but you know what? They played their butts off last night, and I'm not a big fan of Rex Grossman, but you know he played in a, you know, that game could have went either way. I cannot stand D'Angelo Hall, though. To me, he is just a punk. I don't like him, but hats off to the Redskins. Good, solid team. I think they're going to be a force to reckon with in the NFC East. I don't think they're going anywhere. I'm not looking forward to playing them again. I'm going to tell you, their defense was much better than I expected them to be. Much, much better than I expected. I was like, wow, this is a very good defense, because the Cowboys got a lot of firepower. Even with Miles Austin out, you know, we still got a lot of firepower, and they were right there every step of the way. So, I'm not anti-Redskins any more than I would normally be. I just don't like D'Angelo Hall. But that said, Dez makes that play. They call it face mask. You know, probably a makeup call, because they certainly missed a few calls for the Cowboys. So maybe that
It was a face mask. It was a face mask.
Yeah,
it
but you know the
makeup. It was a face mask.
Yeah, but you know the new rule? The new rule? There's no 5-yard face mask anymore. That was a 5-yard face mask. There's only 15 yards. Okay, so they got rid of the 5-yard because they don't call them anymore. So it's either the 15-yard or nothing. That's a 5-yard face mask. I'm just calling it like I see it. I take it.
It's still. It's in the rules. You got to take it. It's in the rules. It's a face mask. D'Angelo Hall can cry all he wants, but if you don't want to get called for the penalty, then don't do the crime.
Well, hey, I ain't trying to defend D'Angelo Hall because I think he's a thug. I think he's a punk. I can't believe I heard Darren Woodson say, Darren Woodson, 3-time Cowboys Super Bowl safety, say that D'Angelo Hall is a top 5 cornerback in this league. I'm like, what?
Overrated.
Oh, my God. I can't stand that guy. But
he's decent. I would say top 5. That's kind of crazy, but he's definitely top 10.
Maybe top 10, but not top 5.
I agree.
But I think what we're seeing is the emergence of Tony Romo. If we can get him some help, you know, and get Miles back and, you know, keep him healthy, keep him, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more good things from him this year. I was happy with the win. We finally got a field goal kicker. We haven't had one in years. We finally got one. And, you know, and technically right now, Dallas is in first place in the NFC East. If you go by tiebreakers, you beat the Redskins, and we're 1-0 in the division, and the Giants lost to the Redskins already, so we hold the number one spot in the division right now. But, I mean, I know it's early, but it's still nice to say. But that said, let's stay in the NFC East for a minute, and let's flip over to the Giants-Eagles game, okay? Now, the Giants started off the year losing to the Redskins, came back, beat the Rams, but you still didn't know what you were going to get with the Giants. And then Eli actually played well against these Eagles. The dream team is 1-2. Vic hurt his hand. Vic is whining about calls. You know, let me go to my NFC guy, Train. What's your assessment of this game? And then secondly, what's your assessment of the dream team?
Man, I didn't get to see much of that game.
I don't know a whole lot about what transpired in that particular game. But on the second question, I mean, the Dream Team showed vulnerabilities in preseason. And sure enough, people take preseason with a grain of salt, but there are certain things that you need to look at. He didn't have protection in preseason. That defense wasn't good against the run in preseason. So all those things are transpired during the regular season. And as much as Vic might want to cry about not getting calls, first your offensive line needs to block and make sure you're not taking hits as you are throwing the ball first before you start whining about getting calls. Fix the O-line first, and then we'll see what happens after that.
K-Star, any thoughts? Did you see the game?
Yeah, I watched the game. I kind of said along, I believe the first show, that I feel like the Giants would give the Eagles a lot of problems based on matchups, the run game, the Mod Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs and the weak safeties and linebackers. That pretty much was the case. I think so now I need to get kind of embarrassed by Victor Cruz of all people, though. That was a little, I didn't expect that, but
ooh,
that was kind of crazy. But it was it was definitely interesting. Mike Vick, yeah, his problem, I mean, he actually does have a legitimate complaint because he does, him and Ben Roethlisberger both get absolutely destroyed, and they don't get a lot of calls as other guys do. I'm actually starting to think that might be because of their off-the-field issues, but that's another whole can of worms I feel like opening. But anyway, yeah, the problem with the Eagles is it's their offensive line. It's very weak. They're losing pretty much every single one-on-one matchup, and they need to get that tightened up. They have to. They got Keyson actually going to block. I thought what the Eagles did great last year was they get a lot of people in the block. They gave big sense of drops, like two-man, three-man routes, and kind of let him use his athletic ability and just take over games with his speed outside the pocket. And they need to go back to that because right now he's getting destroyed. They don't really have much of a choice.
Well, I thought the if you guys watched Countdown last night, I think it was really interesting. I love when these guys actually get into disagreements because, you know, Tom Jackson felt very passionately that Michael Vick had a point, and Trent Dilfer and Steve Young, and Trent Dilfer in particular thought, you know, and these are guys, obviously both these guys, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks that, you know, played in the league, and both of these guys felt like, you know, you have no point. And one of the stats that I thought was very interesting is that since the beginning of 2010, the Eagles have had more roughing the passer penalties assessed on their behalf than any team in the NFL. And, you know, and that was five, you know. And so I was like, well, you know, I think every game you can find hits that are questionable every game, and you can fire hits against the quarterback. But when the whole, you know, as the NFL tries to protect players, and a lot of the players are saying, let us play, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, let us play, but then I'm not getting the calls. I think Michael Vick, first of all, I think he needs to shut his mouth, okay? Because I know what he's doing. He's doing the Phil Jackson. That's what he's doing, okay? I'm going to put it out there. And I'm going to come back the next day, and I'm going to say, oh, my bad, I didn't mean it. Well, you know what? You're Michael Vick. You know who you are. So as soon as you said it, you knew everyone heard you. Everybody heard you. So, of course, they spent the last couple days reviewing all your video. And so now these refs that go in, I guarantee you Michael Vick gets a call if he plays, and that game he plays, particularly if it's Sunday. I guarantee you he's going to get at least one call. And that call, whether it's legitimate or not, is going to be based on the fact that he planted that seed. In my opinion, you need to shut your mouth. Play, play your game. That's the problem. They're trying to.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a pocket quarterback. Yeah, there's going to be times that you sit in the pocket, but you're not a pocket quarterback. You're not Tom Brady. You're not Peyton Manning. You're Vic. What got you that $100 million is your mobility and your ability to improvise and make plays on your legs. That's what got you a $100 million contract and $40 million guaranteed. So that's what you need to be doing. If you sit in the pocket, you're going to get hit. That's what these guys get paid to do. They're going to hit you. Tony Romo goes out there and plays with a broken rib, okay? And you're going to sit there and complain, they're hitting me in my head. And man, shut your mouth. Play the damn game. You're getting paid millions of dollars to play the game.
To his credit, he did get a what I thought was a broken hand. So I'm sure it was speaking out frustration there.
It's a contusion. It wasn't even a broken
hand. No, I know, but at preliminary, the x-rays at first they thought it was a broken hand because the blood vessels put on top of it.
I know, and it's his non-throwing hand.
It's still took him out 2 weeks. I'm just saying, I understand the man's frustration.
Your frustration is you got your ass.
I hear your frustration, obviously.
Because
you're right.
Because they got their ass beat. If they had won that game, do you truly think he would have been saying that stuff? That's what I don't like. Don't run your mouth after you lost. The Giants kicked your ass. That's it. They kicked your ass. You guys are the dream team. You got all these free agents and all of this hype. Hey, man, I don't want to play you guys. I think you guys are going to be pretty good team this year. But, hey, you're struggling right now, which is it happens. But don't get up there.
And I was going to say they might win some games. They learn how to tackle on defense instead of pop guys on the sideline and let them race up the sideline for a touchdown.
Jeez.
That's just,
you know, hey, you want to walk around and be called a dream team, then you're going to get what you get. You know, simple as that. And I know he didn't do it. I know it was Vince Young who did it. But you know what? Ain't nobody running away from it, you know. So you're going to get what you get. All right. I have spoken. All right. moving on to the team that we get to face next Sunday. And I'm actually looking forward to this game. I actually am looking forward to seeing the Lions. I really am. The Lions, there's a lot of stories in this game. I mean, the Lions came back. I mean, the Vikings 20-0 at half. And the Lions come back and take them to overtime and win 26-23. Now, here's a statistic a lot of people may not know, but including the preseason, the Lions have now won 11 straight games. 11. Four at the end of last year. They won all four preseason games, and they're 3-0. They've won 11 straight games. Train, I'm going to go to you first. They're in your division. Is it time to take these boys seriously?
Of course. I just told you I needed to get my mind past Green Bay. And now that we're past Green Bay, the next team to be concerned about is Detroit. Of course you got to take them serious. That's one of those teams that they were able to build their team from the draft. They drafted the right players. They got the right pieces in. Barring that no one suffers an injury, they're going to be a team to contend with. At least from my point of view, how Minnesota, and I don't know what's wrong with Minnesota, this is third week in a row that you have a 17-plus lead at some point in the game and you blow it. So I don't know if that means Minnesota is dangerous for 30 minutes of the game or they just can't play 60 minutes. But in either case, it definitely looks good on Detroit behalf to face that adversity, to be down that 20-9 and still be able to come back with 26-3 yeah, to win the game. So yeah, of course you gotta take them seriously. I don't know what you Cowboys gonna do against them next week, but man.
Well, I'll talk about that when we look at the games coming up because I have some comments on that. But K-Star is. You know, is McNabb all done? I mean, is it time? Is it time for you know? Is he through?
I'm actually trying to think. That's an unfair question to ask. The reason why I say that is because if you look at the game, Adrian Peterson had 5 carries in the second half. Five.
Yes.
A 20-0, and your best player had 5 carries. He should have had 20 carries in the second half. He's supposed to close that game. They had a 20-0 lead, and again, they blew it. We talked about last week. They did it again. This is becoming more and more of their identity. And honestly, it's the coaching staff right now. Adrian Peterson is getting the period. That's it. When you have a lead, guess what you do? You control the clock. You give the ball to your running back. Your running back's Adrian Peterson. You're telling you not giving the ball. That's a crazy. Honestly, you're on your way out to keep this up. This isn't on McNabb anymore.
Well,
I probably feel this way.
I think you're being kind to McNabb, though. I mean, you know, this is again, maybe it's my Tony Romo in me, but if Romo's 0-3, I mean, Romo's getting killed, okay? I mean, McNabb is a superstar quarterback. He's not a rookie. This is a guy who, you know, he does Chunky Soup commercials, okay? He's a superstar quarterback, all right? And, you know, and I agree. I think that, to me, your statistic is true. Five carries, I think it was 5 carries for 5 yards in the second half. McNabb is the quarterback of that team. He's the on-field leader of that team. Why isn't he saying to the coaching staff, or why isn't he call? You know, he's at the line. Every quarterback at the line can kill the play and audible. Okay, why isn't he more in control to say we got this big lead? We need to pound our horse. I get the sense that he's not in control of this team, or if he is, it's very poor control. You know, because you go out and you have a great first half and you have a crappy second half. I think a lot of that falls on the quarterback. Why aren't they scoring more points in the second half? Why isn't he producing? I mean, the guy threw for 37 yards last week. I mean, granted, he got up to 100 and something this week. Great, but we're not seeing the production from him that we saw in Philadelphia. We didn't see it last year in Washington, and it's carrying over this year into Minnesota. And I don't think you can just give McNabb a pass. I do think there's bigger issues, but you can't give McNabb a pass at 0-3 with a team that, you know, has so much talent on it.
I don't say that you give McNabb a pass, but I don't think you can compare him to Tony Romo. Tony Romo has been with Dallas. He's like born to Dallas, man. He's, you know, he's like their golden child. So it's about time for him to lead Dallas to a win. It's not the same case for them now. That was Adrian Peterson's team. Is anybody supposed to have a say? So where that ball goes when they got a lead should be AP. Give me the ball so I can put this game away. I don't care how many times they try to stop me. I will break big. I mean, they're supposed to have one of the biggest offensive lines in the league. I mean, they got some big boys up front. Give them the ball and let them run away with it. You know, McNabb had a first poor week, but, you know, since then he threw for 200-something yards each week, 2 weeks in a row.
My question is, what kind of expectations do you really have for McNabb going in this year? You figure, if anything, my assumption was he'd be the more or less a game manager and let Adrian Peterson take over, because at the end of the day, that's Adrian Peterson's squad. So, I mean, I didn't have a huge expectations for McNabb, expecting him to manage the game. I think he's done a decent job past 2 games, but, man, I just think it really falls to feature your best player, and they're not doing that right now. And I really don't know how much control McNabb has at the line of scrimmage. I cannot
disagree with you guys more. There has never been a superstar running back that controls an offense. It doesn't happen. I don't care who it is. OJ, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders. These guys don't control the offense. Sure, they can campaign to get carries, but you know what you have. So if he's not getting carries, there's three people to look at. There's the head coach. There's the offensive coordinator, unless you have a situation where the head coach is calling the plays, then forget the offensive coordinator, and there's the quarterback. The quarterback is the captain of that offense. He is running that offense, and it's his job to say to the coordinator, when they go out and there's a 3-and-out and you didn't run your horse, it's his job. I don't care if it's a rookie. I don't care if he's been in the league 15 years. It's his job to tell him what I see. Here's what I see. I'm out there. Yo, we need to be running AP. We need to do this. We need to do that. And the fact that they didn't, I can't give, man, I don't care how long he's been with the team. He's the starting quarterback, and he's a veteran. You know, okay, maybe the Colts quarterback, you know, he's younger, you know, fine. This guy's a veteran, okay? He knows what he's doing back there. Yeah, he's got to learn the playbook, but once he gets out there, he knows what he's doing. So I can't give McNabb a pass. I agree. I'm not going to blame it all on him. But the fact that that superstar running back, that guy who, you know, to me, my opinion, he's the best running back in the NFL, period. He should have had that carried ball 20 times in the second half. And the fact that he didn't, I think part of that is on McNabb. I think McNabb has got to step up and say, hey, guys, what are we doing? We got this guy back here. We need to give him the ball. That's what, you know, I don't want to be throwing those screen passes and hitting the tight end. We up by 3 touchdowns. We need to be giving this guy the ball. So I say, what is he doing? You know, there were reports that last year McNabb with Shanahan fought the system. He fought it. You know, like Shanahan said, here's what I want to do. And McNabb said, no, I want to do that. So I don't know, based on what we heard last year, what's going on this year, but there's a problem there because this team should not be 0-3. You know, I mean, am I missing something? Should this team, I mean, 0-3? The Vikings, a team that many people thought it, you know, not that long ago, the best, you know, Brett Favre was there. I mean, you know, playoff run and the best defense, and I can't give the guy a pass. On Peterson, what do you guys think about the fact that his father came out and, you know, had some comments about Adrian not being happy with only 5 carries in the second half? You know, should he say anything? Should he not say anything? Should, you know, what do you think, Train? What do you think?
I don't know if you want that information to necessarily come from your dad, but I mean, you know, you can anybody. I mean, I would just assume that he's frustrated because they lost and he didn't, and he only got 5 carries from the game. But I don't know if you want that information necessarily come from your dad as a source. I didn't even read that article. I just saw that headline. I was like, okay, why did it come from him? Why didn't it just come from AP?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Adrian Peterson's a great, you know, from what I read, he seems to be a great person and not the type of person that's going to, you know, complain publicly and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think, hey, man, your dad, you know, I can call you and say, you know, damn, dad, I mean, I don't understand why they didn't run the ball more, but I don't need you running to the paper with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. You know, yeah, so.
I think it's his dad trying to get his MS wrong as well. Like, speaks to the coaching staff, like, you know, Adrian wants to save it, but I will. Get him the ball, you know. I mean, he's just trying to get his own little Phil Jackson thing going. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. That could be the case. Another game that actually turned out to be one of the better games of the weekend. The Texans went to the Superdome to play the Saints and got up on them early. But, you know, Saints came back, I mean, 23 points in the fourth quarter, and actually came back and won that game 40-33. I don't know. I'll ask K-Star first about the Texans. Is that team, you think that team's going to be, as we go down this stretch, is that team going to be a team to be reckoned with in the AFC?
I'm going to go ahead and say yeah. They played pretty good against New Orleans. Drew Brees just took the game over. Their defense is much improved, finally, for once. They have running backs galore, really. You know, Ben Tate's very good. Apparently, Aaron Foster's starting this weekend. We'll see how effective he is. And Sean's pretty decent. I don't know if he's really clutch or anything, but I don't know. I feel like their defense now gives them enough opportunities to win some ball games. And they're in a very weak division in the AFC South right now as it stands. So, yeah, I think they're kind of legit. I don't know in the big picture if they're legit, but they're good enough to win that division and get in the playoffs. Well, we'll find out. They play Pittsburgh this Sunday, so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about the upcoming game shortly. Train, same question to you with the Saints. You know, they're 2-1, and, you know, is this a team that's going to be there? You know, it seems they're scoring a lot of points, but they're giving up a lot of points, too. Is this a team that's going to be there down the stretch?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, and that will be their MO for the remainder of the season. The Saints are definitely going to give up some points. But like you told me two weeks ago, Drew Brees is their quarterback.
Yeah.
So as long as Drew Brees sit at quarterback, and as long as their time remaining on the clock, the game is not over. And to put up 23 points in a quarter to bring home the win, wow.
Yeah, I mean, he's got me 3-0 in one fantasy league, and I just had my first loss in the other league, but it wasn't Drew Brees' fault. It was everybody else's fault, but it wasn't Drew Brees' fault. I mean, he's steady Eddie, man. I tell you, he gets me points. I ain't going to lie. If he gets hurt, I'm done. some other games, I don't know if you guys want to comment on any of these other games. Cam Newton gets his first win.
I told you.
Yeah, he got his first win. Didn't really throw for a lot of yards, but You know, the Panthers took out the Jags 16-10. You know, as I kind of look through some of these other scores, I see that the Browns are at 2-1, and they took out the Dolphins at 0-3. Hey, you know, on this game, you know, what do you think? I mean, Reggie Bush, you know, he left New Orleans and thought, you know, and what I heard in the offseason was the Dolphins and Sperano and these guys was going to make Bush the feature back, and he was going to get 20 touches a game. And he's not getting 20 touches a game. He's not really doing anything over there. And, you know, the Saints, you know, now they have Sproles, and Sproles is tearing it up over there in Bush's former role. And so, you know, is you know, I don't know, any comments on Reggie Bush and the Dolphins? They're 0-3. Sperano might be on the hot seat. Reggie Bush isn't doing anything. Any hope for Bush to, you know, perform and help this team climb out of the dungeon?
Well, that's from my point of view, I'm wondering, well, you know, why did they bring him down there? If they wasn't, you know, gearing the offense to be around Reggie Bush, because they already knew what their quarterback situation was. They already knew what they had at receiver. So why did you bring this guy down there if you're not giving him the carry? Or is there something else that we're not being privileged to know about Reggie Bush, where to be in practice for his reason for not, you know, receiving the carries in the offense? And then now they're giving it to this rookie Thomas.
Yeah, Daniel Thomas.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, Bush is on my fantasy team. He's killing me, man. I get some points, man. I tell you, Bush, D'Angelo Williams, Chad Ochocinco, these guys are killing me, man. These guys ain't giving me nothing, man. I tell you, man. I don't know.
I wish they would have gave you nothing the week I played you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I got a little something out of them. But I actually had other guys step up that week, but not this week, man. This was tough. I lost. I can't believe it. Anyway, Titans and the Broncos. And I don't know how Chris Johnson did. You guys help me out here. Did he actually, you know, like, did he play?
He played. He wasn't, you know.
He didn't really run the ball that well, from what
no.
I mean. Yeah. I gathered. Was others today?
Oh, it was all Kenny. It was Kenny Britt until Kenny Britt went down. But you know, by that time, Nate Washington had woke up, and then it was Nate Washington, and the Titans were able to put it away with the combination of defense and just enough offense to put it away.
You know, as far as Chris Johnson, who was a holdout and all of that, I only got one real comment for him.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
That's what he needs more of, man. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, let me go through the games first, and I have a general question for you guys. Let me see. We talked about that game. 49ers. I mean, yeah, that's coming. We talked 49ers, took out the Bengals. Not really a surprise there. Chargers, you're it's only been 3 weeks, but you're starting to see just the beginning of some separation. You're seeing some 0-3 teams that you start to say, okay, I don't really have a lot of expectations. The Chiefs, the Vikings, the Dolphins. You're starting to see these teams at 0-3, and you're starting to say, the Rams, you know, I mean, you really got to ask yourself, are these teams really going to produce anything? The Rams haven't done anything. The Ravens just went in and annihilated them. And, the Cardinals lost to the Seahawks, ho-hum. The Falcons, a team that just beat the Eagles, lost to the Buccaneers. And the question goes out, and I'll ask Train, my NFC guy here, tough game, 16-13, and I saw bits and pieces of it. The Bucs seem to be for real, but is it time for the Falcons to press the panic button now, or are they going to be okay?
They don't need to press the panic button, but from the game to Chicago, all the way up to this game, they got protection issues. That's not the same team that was protecting Matt Ryan. That's not this. You know, they're not playing like that same offensive line that was protecting Matt Ryan the season before and giving him time to throw the ball and hit his receivers. But at the same time, you know, did they face the defenses last season that they faced this season? But yeah, they got protection issues. And they show it every week. Even last week when they won, they still had issues protecting Matt Ryan. If that persists, it's going to be a tough season. Well, I wouldn't hit the panic button, but it's going to be a tough season for them if they don't fix their protection issues.
Yeah, as another, Michael Turner didn't do nothing. He did a lot. He was one of the reasons why I was able to beat you that week, but he didn't do nothing this week, man. These guys, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just pissed me off, man. Let's switch gears for a minute here, and let's go to K-Star and ask anything you want to share that's going on. I mean, if there's nothing going on, that's cool, but anything you want to share going on in the Madden community that people may want to know about, anything going on with the new game, any tournaments, any news, anything?
Not really. More or less, just people are playing a bunch on Gamers Fluent and Virgin Gaming. Waiting for word on when the next tournament is and basically just doing their thing online right now. That seems to be the craze as it is, so nothing really. Although I do want to point out, if anyone's out there and they're interested in lessons from, you know, the one and only K-Star, hit me up at Twitter, at Ali Quick, AliQuickK. Had a few people I've been doing Madden lessons with. They're pretty happy with the results, so I had to put that plug in there real quick.
There you go. Lessons from Ali Quick. You know, hit him up on Twitter, and if you didn't catch that, just shoot me a message at the Madden Voice, and I'll make sure you get connected to K-Star and, you know, get those lessons. And, you know, I've known people over the last few years that have actually tutored people on how to play this game, and I've never heard anybody say they didn't get better by actually somebody helping them. I've not once heard that. So, you know, and you're talking about, you know, annually one of the best. It's you know, it's hard to continue to be good every year at this game because it changes so much. You know, from year to year, it's not the same game. And yet, you know, there's a guy here on the show with us that, you know, last few years, he's right near the top, you know, every year. So take him up on that offer. Train, I don't know if you wanted to do it this week or next week. Did you want to quickly touch on some fantasy stuff or, you know, or did you want to wait till next week? Or I don't know if you wanted to touch on that or.
Well, I can touch on a few points. I mean, one, I just highlight a few guys that actually had pretty good fantasy weeks. If you had them on your team, man, you probably won. One, starting out with Jermichael Finley, towards Chicago, 3 touchdowns.
Chill,
Drew Brees able to bring his team back. Man, he had a pretty good week. Wes Welker. Oh, my God. Needless to say, my opponent had Wes Welker.
My opponent had Finley. So, yeah, man, I'm with you, man.
I just watched the yards go up and up. And I just started flipping even to check the stats on NFL. Like, is that the only person he's throwing the ball to?
Pretty much.
It was the only person that he was throwing the ball to.
Real quick, I wanted to touch on, as you guys know, I traded for Denver Fan last week as a keeper. That's all the conventional world and him. And he is making me look very smart right now. Darren Fadden looking like the best running back in the league against the Jets. That said, our touchdown was a thing of beauty. I love him. He is the man.
You guys realize in my other fantasy league, not the one I do with Train, you know, the one I do with Train where I just beat Train a week before, my other fantasy league,
wow.
I have Drew Brees as my starting quarterback, and I have McFadden as my running back. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I mean, McFadden was one of the highlights of last week. Wes Welker was he was the beast of everybody last week. It was surgery.
Yeah, that's what both of us got. Yards receiving at the points. Felt pretty amazing days. I actually had a guy in my league who has Tom Brady, Wes Welker, and Rob Gronkowski on one team, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Used to say he's destroying everyone by far. It's ridiculous. It's really bad. It's like he's a dynasty going over there. It's retarded.
just a few more people that did well. Ryan Matthews had a really good fantasy week. Eli Manning had 4 touchdowns in his game. Actually, Joe Flacco had a really good game against the Rams, and Baltimore defense kind of tore it up against the Rams as well. But for those who are in the big leagues, you got 14, 16, I would say 12 to 16 teams, and you're actually looking to pick up players. Me and T, we debated on whether I should do this, but I don't mind giving people some information to pick up, you know, a few players if you need somebody. But some players you might want to look at picking up if you haven't. Look at picking up Bernard Scott, because Cedric Benson is about to get suspended. We don't know when it's going to happen, but he'll probably be serving a 3-game suspension. So Bernard Scott, as he's out there picking up. This guy from the Patriots running backs, Steven Ridley, pick him up. You know, he's getting anybody for the Patriots is probably good to pick up because they spread the ball around there, and there's a lot of offense with that team. Alphonso Smith, you know, with the uncertainty of Beanie Wells, Alphonso Smith is actually getting the carry, so pick him up for Arizona. Nate Washington, if you haven't picked him up, I'm sure in our league someone has, but Nate Washington's out to pick him. With Kenny Britt out, he's the go-to man. Torrey Smith, every week there's a receiver on somebody's team that all of a sudden knows how to play. I don't even know where this guy. Last week it was Denarius Moore and Eric Decker. Now it's this dude, Torrey Smith, for the Ravens. 3 catches, 3 touchdowns. Okay. But if he's out there, pick him up. And you know, if you want to pick up a Chicago Bear, it's okay if you pick up Dane Zazenbacher. For some reason, Jay Cutler likes that guy when they get to the red zone, because clearly Roy Williams can't hold on to any passes. So, yeah, scoop up that guy. But that's pretty much it for fantasy.
Hey, I got a question for K-Star. You just traded for Daryl McFadden. What did you have to give up to get? I mean, I'm not giving up Daryl McFadden, okay? So what did you have to give up to actually, for that full, I mean, that person in your league to trade him, what did you give him?
Right. Well, it's a keeper league, so we're able to trade draft picks. I trade Maurice Jones-Drew in the first rounder for Darren and second rounder, and I also give him my 7th for his 9th.
So you did Jones-Drew, a 1st, a 2nd, and then you swapped a 7th for a 9th.
No, I didn't. I swapped. So I traded Maurice Jones-Drew. I gave him my 1st. I took his 2nd.
Oh, okay.
And then I gave him my 7th, and I took his 9th.
Okay. See, I wouldn't have did that. Not for McFadden, but that's McFadden's a monster.
Yeah. Now I got him for my keeper league. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. So
pretty
happy about it.
Yeah. All right. Let me bring on. I think he's been on. He's called and hung up and called every time I wanted to bring him on, and I didn't see him there anymore. But he's here now. So let me bring on our good friend. So amazing. Hold on here. So amazing. Are you there?
Yes, I'm still here. Yeah, we played a little phone tag here and there. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I saw you, and I went to grab you, and then you were gone. And I went back to the show, and I looked and saw you. You know. So welcome to the Madden Voice.
Oh, I'm happy to be on here. Actually, I listened to you guys before because when I was waiting, I was listening to you guys talk about, like, the Vix and, you know, the Cowboy situation. I'm actually a Cowboy fan myself, so I'm on your side with that one.
All right.
And, you know, I had a lot of things to say, too. I heard you doing your little rant and rave on Vic.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? I can't hate on you for that, honestly. I know I heard K-Star coming back at you a little bit. But I kind of feel a little bit both ways. I lean more towards yours. I do understand, like, you know, it's true. You know, he shouldn't be basically, you know, crying like that. He should use his legs. You know, he came into this league, you know, from Virginia Tech, being elusive and getting out of the pocket, and he was a hard target to hit. And now that he's sitting in the pocket so much, trying to be like the Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's, you know, he's going to absorb those hits. I mean, if he doesn't want to, he's got to use his legs, point blank. So I got to agree with you with that.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue I had with his comments was he said, I'm not getting the calls that the other guys are getting. And
yes.
That's where I was like, wait a minute, because then Trent Dilfer came on and said, hold on, let's look at who's getting the roughing the passer penalties, and guess what, the Eagles are getting more than anybody. So, you know, that's where I was like, dude, you know, shut up, you know, like, stop whining. It just came across to me as whining, and, you know, and it matches their 1-2 record. It's not like he's 3-0 complaining. They're 1-2, so, hey, woe is me. But anyway, go ahead, I'm going to give you back the floor.
No, yeah, exactly. No, you're right. I want to jump on also that Pittsburgh game real quick, too. I heard you guys talking about it. I don't want to, you know, make it go any longer. But that game to me, it was a tight game. I thought the Steelers was going to blow them out, honestly. Colts defense came out, played their game, whatever. But I think even though you guys said Kerry Collins should start, I honestly think Payne should start. I'm going to go with Train on that one. It's true. Exactly. I'm on you with that one, because he was behind Peyton Manning for, you know, these X amount of years or whatever, right? So he can't run it like Peyton Manning. Yeah, we all know that he's not going to be able to run the same exact way he did it, but at least he has an idea of how to run it. If he gets more snaps with the first team, like the Train said, and if he actually gets more time to throw these receivers and you know, get the pressure, blitz them, you know, go for it. If he can't hack it, then he shouldn't be in the NFL.
Well, here's what I'll say to that. And people are saying that now because we saw what he did, and he had some level of production against the Steelers, okay? But here's what I'll say. If he was ready, why'd they go get Kerry Collins? And why did Kerry – they didn't get Kerry Collins to back him up. They brought Kerry Collins in, who was retired, gave him $4 million and said, come and be our starting quarterback. Peyton is out. So somebody over there said this guy's not ready. Somebody on that sideline or somebody in that front office said, this guy's not ready. So it's not just that he play him because he knows the offense. They felt he wasn't ready, and let's go get this veteran. Let's go find this guy. And that's
can we really trust that front office right now, though? I mean, really? Can we, after they debacle? This is a debacle. Really, it is. Not grooming the quarterback, not getting one ready, and bringing Collins in the last second. I mean, I don't know. I find it hard to trust the front office as a lead, the way they've been screwing everything up, and the flip-flopping and saying, going to play. Take one. Oh, he's not. Oh, now he's up for season. Now he's not. I don't know. I don't really trust
some of that. Wait. Now, this is the same front office that has assembled a team that's had 10 straight winning records. I mean,
They settled Peyton Manning. I mean, they had a team once a long time ago. They had a team when they had Edgar James, they had Marvin Harrison. They don't have those guys anymore. One people they have on that team is Dwight Freeney and Reggie Wayne Peyton Manning. That's pretty much it. I mean, at the end of the day, you're 0-3 with all that talent they quote-unquote drafted, but at the end of the day, they don't have the team they used to have.
I mean, but the NFL, the NFL is not, you know, this is a tough league to win in, and they win every year. And yes, Peyton Manning is a huge part of that. There's no doubt about it. But they have assembled a team around him that isn't that bad. That defense, as we just saw, these guys came to play, and I mean, you know. So I don't fault the front office here. I think there's some gamesmanship going on with Peyton Manning and us, you know, trying to determine, you know, this is our franchise quarterback, and teams are wondering, is he coming back? Is he not coming back? And we're going to be as skimpy on this information as we can. We don't want you to know. They may already know he ain't playing. And that's why the guy backtracked so quickly. Like, you know, first of all, we don't expect to play. Oh, well, wait a minute. You know, somebody called him and said, hey, hold on. We don't want nobody writing off Peyton just yet. That could be why they're not putting him on injury reserve. They want to keep the player out.
That's true. At the end of the day, the fact of the matter is they screwed this whole Peyton Manning situation up by not having someone behind him adequately ready to play and bringing Kerry Collins last second. That's not the answer. You might as well Brett Favre just for fun. You can't really expect someone to come in. All veterans can learn offense in like a week and a half. That's just ridiculous.
But on the other hand, who would you have back there that, I mean, the guy hasn't missed a game in 12 years. So, you know, Jim Sorgi was back up for how many years and didn't hardly play. So, I mean, who are you going to put back there behind Peyton Manning who never misses a game? You got to pay this guy to be on the roster. So, you know, it's not that easy to just go out there and get somebody that can go in there and win games and yet this guy isn't going to play, isn't going to, you know, get a lot of first reps, first team reps, you know, in the off season and during practice. So it's, you know, you've had the benefit of an Ironman, and you've also had the negativity of an Ironman. Is it really is not that easy to go get somebody that's going to, now they have that challenge. But they didn't have it before this season, so you know. But all right. Anyway, so amazing. Did you? What else? Did you have more for us? You got some good comments.
Yeah. I knew that I was gonna start up something. I don't even know why I brought that up. I knew it was gonna start up something. I knew I had a feeling too. Another thing I just wanted to add, just like going back to the Madden thing. Basically, the next event King of the Cats is gonna be doing is October 8th, and just want to throw that out there because I know it's coming around the corner. I got two new Madden crew members on the TMB, True Madden Baller Squad, that I'm building through King of the Couch tournaments with Rod Lane, and I want to announce them real quick on the Madden Voice.
All right.
And one is Havoc. His name is Havoc. He's actually from Delaware. He actually won the last King of the Couch event, the Grand Bowl. He's actually a lab partner of the other guy I'm about to mention also as well that's on the crew. And his name is JR. He actually won the GameStop Madden 11 championship last year.
All right.
And those two guys are currently TMB ballers through King of the Couch tournament.
That's great, man. That's great. You know, I'll tell you, man. I got you guys on here. I'm gonna continue to say that the Madden tournament community, in my opinion. And this includes EA Sports when they were doing the Madden Challenge. This includes all the local tournament guys. To me, what has been missing is the community has always had people that like to cap, and you know, and that's always been to a point enjoyable. Sometimes guys go a little overboard, but you like that personal competition and guys running their mouths. But what's missing is really taking that personality to another level, like the WWE. To me, you know, what really should happen is you should have these guys with personas, theme music, cut promos. I mean, really, you really want to get people interested because, you know, the video gaming is certainly going to attract a certain amount of people. But that personal competition, I mean, I've been saying this for 4 years. I'm going to keep saying it until somebody says, you know what, Commissioner T, you got a good point, man. How do we make this happen? You know, how do we make this happen? I worked with MLG last year when MLG, or the year before, I should say, when MLG did the tournaments. I was on staff at MLG, and they had all the production value down to a science. It was beautiful. The tournaments beautifully run on that production value. If they had just added, you know, here comes Dynasty coming up to play K-Star, and Dynasty walks out to his theme music, and so he cuts a little promo about what he's going to do to K-Star. Then you have K-Star come out, and he's got his theme music, and he cuts a promo, and the game will be up in 30 minutes, guys, and get everybody amped and excited. I'm telling you, guys do that on a local tournament level. People will come out to see that just as much as they come out to see who's going to win. All right.
Can you dig it?
All right, sorry about that.
But you know, Commissioner T, you know, that is a great idea. I was actually talking to Rod about that. Basically, not the same exact thing you're talking about, but that's basically what I wanted to do with this crew that I'm making through his tournaments. You know, there's a lot of guys out there, like I said, they have crews. There's already crews out there, you know, GTP and everything like that, you know, GameStop, Philly, all of them. And, you know, there are big names out there still, too, with The Problem, you know, Coinstar, you know, Lowe's, everything like that. But the thing is, it has to be a pod, like you said, like a WWE type thing where it's a trash talk, it's capping to an extent, and you don't get the curse words and I'll throw 100,000 stacks on the system and I'll play my boy, and if you don't, like I'll beat you up. Like, no, I don't want that. I want this community to be positive. I want it to be like, you know, so amazing is coming out. Like, you know, when I hopefully get to that level of competitiveness when it comes to these tournaments. You know, going against, like, a dynasty, like, you know, the old veterans coming against the new talent, you know. The tournament world in Madden needs to change for a good – it needs to be revamped, as Rod Lane tells me all the time. It needs to be put to where it used to be on ESPN, the Madden Nation bus. That was exciting. Honestly, I thought that was exciting. When I used to watch it, that's what inspired me to get involved in this. That's what inspired me to get on the Madden voice right now that I'm on now. Like, I'm grateful. I'm happy to be here, honestly, and to help grow this community as I get older and pass it on from you veterans that are before me. And I'm excited about talking about it. I watched the Madden Nation bus, and I got excited seeing K-Star going against somebody. And then, you know, they do the little cuts to the side saying, oh, it's second and down, you know, second and three. I really got to get this first down. And then they cut back to the game, and you're watching it, and you're anticipating what's going to happen. And you see a guy get kicked off the bus, and the guy goes back on the bus and just like, oh. And that was exciting to me. For them, for ESPN to lose that, and for us Madden ballers to not have that back, I want that back, and that's what I'm trying to do with the true Madden Baller. That is why I call ourselves TMB.
Real quick, you know what I find interesting? It's actually kind of funny. I got a message from a friend the other day. Apparently Madden Nation Season 4 is on demand right now on Comcast, and it's also on Dish Network, I believe. It's on demand on both of those.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
On demand on Comcast? Wow, I got to check it out. I don't have Comcast, but but,
yeah, it's on demand on that. And
I have access to it.
I gotta look it up, but it's still on iTunes and Xbox Live and all that other stuff. So.
Wow. Oh, it's on Xbox Live too?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the video marketplace.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I'm sorry I did my little rant and really got a little excited talking right there, guys, but like I said, like, I'm really excited about this upcoming season, and I'm really excited about trying to restructure the Madden tournaments and, you know, make King of the Couch also, you know, one of the tournaments that people know on the East Coast that we are positive and you will play the, you know, some of the best new guys coming out, you know, from the East Coast at least. That's all we're trying to do.
Well, don't apologize for passion, brother. Don't apologize for being excited. You're excited for something good and for the right reason. So there's no reason to apologize, you know, and I think, you know, anything that certainly we can do to promote it and help, we'll do here on the Madden Voice. But I think the message, you know, remains, even though, you know, I am not as directly involved with the game as I used to be. And, you know, I'm pretty happy with that decision. But that said, I still care about this community. And I know I still, you know, chat with a lot of the guys, you know, out there in the tournament community on Facebook and whatever. And, you know, even a lot of the guys that used to play in EAFL that don't anymore, we still chop it up from time to time. And, you know, I think that this community has always underachieved. And I think if the potential will always be there if people stop thinking about their individual prosperity and start thinking about how to elevate the community as a whole, then everybody will be successful. And then if you've got personal goals in this game, you can get it as a group. We can all get there. I don't mean me personally, but I mean y'all could all get there if everyone worked together to get there. But as long as people are working in silos and individually by themselves, and this tournament director's over here and this baller's over there and everybody's working, it's going to be what it's going to be. It's going to be like it is now. It'd be okay. You know, you'll say it's okay, but it will never hit that greatness that you see, to be quite honest, with some of the other games out there that hit a different level that I think Madden could blow them all away. But we just got to get the right people together to make it happen.
And you're right. You know, you just told me right now that you was working with MLG, but, you know, about, you know, year or two ago, you just mentioned it before. Like, the thing I'm still really confused about, maybe Kesa, you could throw something into it too. I mean, I know you were a player there and things like that. You went there. I saw the videos. I saw who won. I saw how it all ended, things like that. Saw the rounds. What was it that MLG didn't see that we see? Like, well, why won't they take it back? Why won't they give it another try? I don't understand. I know it's probably something you can't say.
No,
you know,
I can say whatever I want. I don't work for MLG anymore. I can say whatever I want. And I personally don't have any fear of anything coming down from them because I don't work for them. And I got, you know, anybody over there want to call me, they got my number, same number I had 2 years ago. They can call me and talk to me. But I'm going to tell you the problem with MLG. And we did cover it in some of the old episodes of the Madden Voice. We had Top on and Bobby and some of the other guys on. The number one problem with MLG is they thought they knew more than we did about this game. They thought that they could run Madden like they run Halo and these other games. They wouldn't listen to Bobby. They wouldn't listen to Top. They wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't listen to J Reels and Chris Domenico and all these guys. We had you know, and the top ballers, the K-Stars, the Dynasties, the Big Jeans, and all these. We had everybody at their disposal to help them understand. Look, MLG, you guys have the production value, but we have the knowledge of the game. So we can combine your production value with our knowledge of the game, and we could take this to a complete other level. Well, they didn't want to do it. They wanted to do it their way. And Bobby Storm, to his credit, and I call Bobby Madden Buddha, and to his credit, he did everything in his power to try to educate them on how we do things in this community. And we said, look, you know, we're here to learn, too. So there are things that you can teach us about production, about, you know, that kind of stuff that we never did because we don't have the equipment and that kind of stuff that you guys have. But you guys can't teach us about this game. We grew up with this game. It's our game. You can't teach us. They tried to act like, well, it's just another video game. So, you know, I do Halo and Smash Brothers, so it's the same thing. We're like, no, it's not. There's no comparison. It's completely different. So, you know, they tried it for a year. It didn't work the way they wanted to. They weren't as successful as they could have been. And then pretty much, you know, there was a fallout between them and EA Sports. And they said, okay, you know what? EA Sports says we're done. We're gonna pull this contract from MLG. And MLG said, okay. And then that was it. So that's the short answer. There's a lot that I could share that I won't do now, maybe down the road, or, you know, throw some more stuff out there. But that's the bottom line, is they didn't listen, period, point blank. Hey, there's some good people over there. I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm not even saying that they're bad businessmen. But they were stubborn. And they should have listened to all of us in this community, and things could have went a lot differently.
That's actually kind of new to me that you just told me that. Like, I didn't even know all you guys were even that much involved with them, and they still made that decision. I think they should have gave it more of a chance, honestly. I mean, that's just outside perspective.
Well, you know, when you bring in guys like Bobby and you bring in guys, you know, you have a mixture of talent. You bring in Bobby and Top, me, who, you know, at the time was certainly, you know,
Jay
running.
Rios there too, right?
Jay Rios was there. I mean, you know, we had such an eclectic mixture of people. No matter what angle of Madden you wanted to talk about, we had someone that had deep, deep knowledge, and yet it was like they just wanted us, hey, just ref the games. You know, just go out there and ref the games. That's what we brought you here for. And, you know, it was very difficult to get them to listen, to do anything. And, you know, it's kind of like, look, you know, I'm grown. Bobby's grown. We're all, you know, 40-ish. You know, we're not like 22 here. We're grown men with full-time careers that we do outside of this. And you're talking to me like I'm 17 and I don't know what I'm talking about. It's like,
wow.
It was very frustrating. It was very frustrating. And like I said, I got nothing against them personally, but on the business side of things, they just made some very bad decisions, and had they listened, I think it could have worked out differently. But they didn't. We are where we are. And maybe it's for the best, because from what I'm hearing, the online thing with Virgin Gaming is working out pretty well. So maybe it's for the best.
The only thing, I mean, I like the Virgin Gaming thing. I like the online thing, the controlled online security, like, you know, tournaments, things like that, that's cool. But I think it still takes out the fun of when you're locking up with somebody playing Madden for, like, you know, $1,000 or Madden Challenge, like it was a couple years ago, and you got the person right next to you. I think it's a whole different feeling than playing somebody online.
Right. I agree. I don't think anybody would argue that.
Because even with, like, the Virgin Gaming, okay, yeah, you play online, things like that, and you qualify, and then, okay, the top, you know, whatever, 20-something people get sent down to play each other in person, and then they play in person. Okay, that's cool. But the thing I don't like is you have to start online and then go to it. Like, of course, I got a lot of wins online when I play Madden, like, because I'm at home, I'm relaxed, I got my AC on, I got my big screen TV, I'm relaxed. You know, if a bad play happens, I don't got nobody capping in my ear or something like that, I don't got that nervousness, you know? I can check my play anytime I want, flip my play, and, like, not have the person see it, and I feel more comfortable. But when you got somebody right next to to, and they're focused on the same screen you're staring at, and you got to really be like your general in real life on the football field. So I play football myself. It's more of a chess game. I think they need to bring that back, and I wish that there was another organization besides MLG, because it seems like GameStop, because I work for GameStop too. GameStop is like the bullies of video gaming, you know, stores. Yeah, there's little mom-and-pop shops, but when you think of video game stores, everybody, the masses, the community, the consumers, they're all going to go to GameStop. I just wish there was something different than an MLG. You know, I wish there was something, another tournament, pro circuit, that could compete with MLG. Like, it seems like they're the bullies on the block, so they said, okay, we'll try Madden for a year, and then, all right, cool. We didn't like it because you guys didn't want to communicate with us, so bye-bye. You know, we have to give them competition from now. And that's what I've been thinking about for the past 6-8 months. Like, is there any other way to put Madden on that huge pro circuit like MLG was trying to, but on our own? That's what I'm trying to think about.
All right. Well, let's move on to, you know, we will do a Madden segment every week, so that's something that we can table and maybe each week brainstorm. And, you know, certainly K-Star has seen a lot in this game and may have some valuable thoughts, but we'll give him a little time to let that marinate. But let's take a look. Let's jump ahead to next week, NFL schedule, because we're running out of time here, guys. So I still got K-Star and Train on, right?
Yep.
Here, man.
All right, let's take a look at the 1 o'clock games coming up Sunday, October 2nd. And I'm just going to go down the list here, but I don't know that we'll have time to comment on all of them, but there's some good games. I mean, first and foremost, 1 o'clock, Cowboys Stadium. Detroit comes to Texas Stadium. I mean, you guys know how I feel. I think Dallas is going to win. I think Detroit is a good team, but I don't think they're ready for prime time just yet. But I don't think the Cowboys are going to walk over them, but I think the Cowboys will win this game. Train?
It'll be a statement game for Detroit. I still think I would consider Dallas to be the better team. They're probably not playing as good as ball as Detroit is playing right now, but Detroit hasn't faced its toughest opponents in his schedule ever yet. You know, his toughest opponent thus far has probably been Tampa Bay. I mean, Minnesota is division, so that doesn't really count. You're gonna face division, but I think that their schedule definitely gets tougher, and it'll probably start with this game. So it'll be a statement game for Detroit if they can get this and go 4-0.
I like Detroit. I'm just gonna put that out there. That's
how
I end up. That's how I end up. That's the reason why I say that. So
what? I'm not surprised that you would like Detroit.
I've been actually kind to the Cowboys. I haven't been knocking them at all. I've been giving them credit when it's due. Even after week one, I was saying, hey, this seems to be pretty good. So it's not even about that. I just think Detroit, you know, they're healthy. The Cowboys are still kind of Bruce fanned up. The offensive line seems to have some little chemistry issues going. So I'm just going to have the Lions and the Falcons too, kind of banning that wash up front. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. And probably the main reason, Dallas just played a Monday night game, but they're home. So they're home. I mean, it's a short week, but then you subtract, they don't have a day of travel, so it evens out.
True.
So I think that's going to be very helpful for them. Let's see, New Orleans and Jacksonville, that's easy, New Orleans. Tennessee and Cleveland, that actually might be a decent game. Both teams are 2-1. AFC, K-Star, what do you think?
So I'm going to go with Tennessee. Matt Haskell gets a hot hand right now. We're going with Kenny Britt not being there. I'm going to go with him.
Okay. Buffalo at Cincinnati, that's pretty easy. Washington at St. Louis, I think that's pretty easy. 49ers go to Philadelphia. We don't know the status of Michael Vick. We know his hand isn't broken, but they still haven't, you know, it's kind of a day-to-day thing with this contusion. You know, so honestly, there's no idea whether he's going to play or not.
I've got a Michael Vick update right now. I'll just read it real quick.
What's that?
Michael Vick likely playing week four. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports cited team sources that Eagles quarterback Michael Vick is likely playing week four against San Francisco despite the deep bone bruise he suffered on his right hand. It was revealed Monday that, you know, obviously wasn't a break. Coach Shane agreed so Vick would be reevaluated after swelling his hand went down. The Philadelphia Inquirer is reporting that, according to sources, he's going to play something. So we'll see.
Okay. So that's pretty positive for you Philly fans. On Tuesday, they're already saying he's going to play, and it's only Tuesday, so that's actually good news. So I say, and I want to get Train's thoughts on this game, but I think it's going to be a better game than people might think. I'm going to say Philly wins, that they really need this win, and they're home, and so I think Philly's going to win. But I think it's going to be a better game than people might think it's going to be. Train?
Oh, yeah. Philadelphia gets this win, but they need to not take San Francisco for granted. San Francisco doesn't have too much to lose. They're in a division that's still wide open, even with the Rams at 0-3. So they're still in a division that's wide open. So even if San Francisco lose this game, they can still possibly go to the playoffs. But don't take that team for granted, because it's slowly coming into its own with a new head coach and everybody learning a new system. And they lead the league in rushing defense. So clearly Vic needs to return to being Vic and play like he played last year, barring that people know that he's able to escape the pocket, and still return back to Michael Vick and do what he does best and lead his team.
Mm. Okay. Minnesota goes to KC. I think Minnesota finally gets a win, even though they're going to KC.
AP is going to have a huge day. He just knows he is after the whole controversy. He's going to get 5 carries in the second half.
I agree. Pittsburgh at Houston. K-Star.
We're going to win, bottom line. Really, though, Matt Schaub's going to have to play a pretty confusing defense. We obviously were pretty heavy in the zone blitz scheme. Troy Polamalu is going to be all over the field, as he was against the Colts Sunday. And one thing Pittsburgh really needs to look out for is make sure Andre Johnson does get behind the secondary, which is always a concern when you place one of that elite talent. I'm pretty sure, based on our history, we'll be able to stop the run. Arian Foster will still play. That's a tough matchup for Arian Foster. Come right back in. Hey, here's the Steelers. Try running against them. So,
Ben Tate.
I like it for that matchup.
Ben Tate. Don't sleep on Ben Tate.
Yeah, Ben Tate is solid.
I think Pittsburgh will win, but I think this game is very similar to the San Francisco-Philly game. Pittsburgh, I think, has a better team, but Houston's going to make this a good game. And they're home, so be a good game. Train, Carolina goes to Chicago, and I already know you're going to pick Chicago. How good of a game do you think is going to be? Is this a statement game for Jay Cutler? Is Chicago going to, at home, hosting Cam Newton? Is this a game where they take Carolina out to the woodshed or what?
This game has a lot of emotion wrapped up to it. As you know, Greg Olsen got traded to Carolina.
Yep.
So now he's coming back home. Chris Harris got traded from Carolina back to Chicago. So now he's going up against his old teammate. Once again, it's Julius Peppers going up against some of his old teammates. So there are a lot of friends and emotions wrapped in this game. But I still think it's one that Chicago can pull out. I mean, it is not a tough game for Chicago to win. You still have a young quarterback. Yeah, he's having early success, but at the end of the day, Chicago can pull his game out. All you need to do is run the ball, and the defense needs to return to the same form it had when it played against the Falcons.
Hmm. In Cam, we trust. I think Carolina pulls the upset. Atlanta at Seattle, that should be Atlanta. Giants at Arizona, that should be the Giants. Denver at Green Bay. What's that?
I was thinking it might actually be a trap game for New York after that big win against Philly. I think it'll be pretty close. But I agree, the Giants will win, but I think it's going to be a really good game.
Denver at Green Bay. All right, here's a good game. I think a very good game. Patriots going to Oakland, to the Black Bowl. I'm just going to say it now. After what I saw Oakland do to the Jets, I think they're going to beat the Patriots.
It's such a tough matchup. I mean, really, I think Oakland's more balanced right now than New England. Jason Campbell's playing pretty good football. And they're McFadden.
Well, New England hasn't had any defense either.
Exactly. And their defense is kind of poor. So they got to go to the black hole and play Darren McFadden. And that,
that's
and
what
that team, that's been tough.
That's what I'm saying. I think D-Mac.
That'd be a very close game. That'd be very close. I kind of don't know who's going to win the game. It's going to be close, but it's going to be awesome.
I mean, you can't ever, and you know, you can't ever underestimate and upset Tom Brady, okay? And you know he's going to come in focused, and he's going to come in with that helmet pulled down over his eyebrows, and, you know, he's going to come ready to play. And that is a scary proposition for any team to go in and face New England. I just think Oakland right now, after the win on the Jets, now they believe. You know, they beat the Jets, and that's the team. That's the one team that's been given the Patriots all they can handle over the last two seasons, and they beat them. Beat them, you know, 10 points. So, and they're home.
A real interesting matchup, I think, about the game is Oakland plays a lot of man coverage. Pretty usually shreds zone defenses. I wonder if Oakland's might take the blueprint from New York last year, put a lot of man coverage defenses. So, I think it'll be interesting to see how the DBs Oakland work against the receivers in man-to-man situations. So it'll be interesting for sure.
And don't forget Richard Seymour.
Oh, that's right.
All right.
That's what I think about. I think about Oakland's front four in that game. If Oakland's front four can fly around like they, like I saw them start from the beginning of the season, then they'll make it a long day for Tom Brady. But I still think New England puts that game.
All right. Miami at San Diego. Jets at Baltimore.
Ooh.
Good game.
That is the game of the week.
Sunday night, 8:20 game Sunday night. And the other game Monday night is Indy at Tampa Bay. Indy doesn't have much of a shot here unless that rookie gets a start, young quarterback gets a start and can actually, surprise us. If not, Tampa Bay is going to win that game. So, Jets at Baltimore.
I like the Jets. Coming off a loss. That's the only reason why I like them.
Trey?
Man. Boy, this is almost like Baltimore-Pittsburgh, but it's not a rival game. So, I'm going to save the home team. Go Ravens.
I want to pick the Ravens, but I think the Jets just lost, and Rex Ryan is going back to play his old team. And I think the combination of the two things, I think the Jets are going to come in with just, you know, and the Ravens, you know, they just had a win. And I don't know, just, you know, after they beat up the Steelers and they went in and laid an egg. So I don't think they'll lay an egg, but I just think the Jets are going to come in and they need this game. They need this game to get back on track and to keep pace in their division. And so I get the edge to the Jets. All right, fellas, we got about 3 minutes to go, so I have a little closing rant that I need to do. So I want to thank you both for co-hosting the Madden Voice tonight. Train, my brother from another mother, and K-Star, best Madden player in the country. Appreciate you guys coming on, and you guys will definitely be back next Tuesday as we review week 4, look at what's going on in the Madden community, and also look ahead to week 5. So I want to thank you guys, and feel free to listen to my rant. You actually might find it quite interesting.
Sounds good.
All right. All right, thanks, guys. In the last couple of minutes, I just wanted to just comment on something really, really quick before we go off the air. And it's not football related. You know, football is great. It's entertainment. It's a sport. And for some people, it's a job. Madden is a video game. But you know what? There's real life and there's real life things that go on in this world every day, every week. And last Wednesday night at 11:08 p.m., Troy Davis was executed. And if you didn't hear about it, you probably were living in a cage or living in a hole somewhere. But this was Georgia. And some time ago, he was arrested for murdering a police officer. He never, ever admitted guilt. And in later years, there were 9 jurors. 7 of the 9 jurors recanted their stories. No DNA evidence and no eyewitnesses. Everything was tried to give this guy at least another trial, but at least to take away the execution and either delay it or give him another trial. And it didn't happen. And 11:08 last Wednesday night, he was executed. You know, it is very few times in this country that I go against our political system or go against our judicial system. Generally, I say, if you don't want to live in the United States, then why are you here? Support this country, support our politicians, support our judicial system, or don't live in this country. I find myself nibbling on those words after watching what went on and realizing that as much as we think us African Americans, and yes, I am African American, as much as we think that we are making strides, we have a black president, we have black owners now in athletics and owners of networks, it is things like this that remind me that there is still racism, there is still prejudice, there is still bigotry in this country, and we will never be the country that we can be until this stops. And with that, I will say good night. I hope y'all give y'all something to think about. Enjoy football this week. And remember, catch the Madden Voice next Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. Take care.